stuff out?
Is it off?
Yeah. Yes.
Good morning, everyone. And welcome to the NCI board meeting at scheduled for 9 a.m. It's 9:14. And would you do a roll call, please?
Vice President Kinder.
Here.
Member Archer.
Here.
Member Stephen.
Here.
Member Hill.
Here.
Member Felix.
Here.
Member Cofer.
Here.
All right, very well, thank you. Okay, at this time, we'll do declarations of conflicts of interest. Yeah, that section 8.
Yeah, do you mind either use
saying the name or the case number, just to be sure.
Absolutely.
Thank you.
Yeah. Section 8A4, which is Alina Sick, page 829. Same section, number 10, Pamela Wright, has been postponed. Bear with me as I'm scrolling through my agenda here.
Where's Ray?
That's all I have noted right now. Can you have any items or something in the last 2 seconds that you're aware of? Oh, I'm sorry, there it is. I am in section C. Number 24, Laura Olson, needs to be postponed due to lack of quorum. And I believe Board Member Felix just recused herself from that one. Mr. President, members of the board, that may be a little bit of a special circumstance that the board may want to talk to and see if they can actually consider. I think the manager for that particular case flew in from out of state to be here for that. And the notes from Friday for the postponement may not have been a sufficient time. So I'm not sure that we can talk about that today. The only way we'd be able to talk about it is if Board Member Felix did not excuse herself from that. So I don't know if she wants to talk to our assistant attorney general to see if the recusal is necessary or not. And then let's see here, section C, number 38, Susan Archer has been postponed, again for lack of a quorum. And that's all I have.
Thank you.
Okay, review and discuss possible action on approval of minutes, draft September 9th, 2024, regular board meeting minutes.
Move to approve.
Susan. All second. Discussion. Hearing none, we can take this by oral acclamation. We have voted in the call today. So all in favor of the motion indicate by saying aye.
Aye.
Aye. Opposed, same sign. Okay, motion carries. Okay, review, discussion, and possible action on potential settlement pending Superior Court action. The board may vote to go into executive session pursuant to ARS 38-431.0382 to discuss confidential information. ARS 38-431.038 to receive legal advice. This is a matter of Loretta Rivera, 2023, NCI 0209-0372. And 0475. All right, good morning. And for the record, you can introduce yourselves to the board.
Yes, good morning. This is Jennifer Wasserman from the law offices of Davis Miles. I'm standing in for my partner, David Williams, this morning. And I'm here with Ms. Loretta Rivera.
All right, thank you.
Vice President, members of the board, I'll allow them to go first since this is their proposal. However, just to frame it for you, under the scheduling order for the Superior Court matter, we were to go through a settlement conference. So we did meet Jack, I, Mr. Williams, and Mr. Vera. And this is basically, you know, the agreement that we worked through with them to present to you. They're presenting to you on their behalf. So that's why we're here today.
Okay. I've got a structure that I can take this. All right, so this is the time to set for consideration of a proposed settlement matter involving respondent Loretta Rivera, 2023 NCI 0209 2023 NCI 0372, and 2023 NCI 0475. As noted on the agenda, this matter involves potential settlement by attending Superior Court action. The board has been provided with proposed consent agreement and order of liquidation and state verification for consideration. We'll first hear from both parties about the proposed consent agreement. Next, board members will have the opportunity to question the parties and staff. The board will then deliberate and decide whether or not to accept the consent agreement and order for probation and state verification that has been presented. And so the time for parties to identify themselves, so Ms. Washington and then also Loretta Rivera are here and for the state.
Yes, this is Attorney General Shane Smiley.
Okay, well, Mr. Rivera, I assume that you are representing the council.
Yes.
Okay. All right, will the state please provide background on this matter and explain the terms of the proposed settlement?
Yes, thank you. That was great. Again, Gordon State is, you know, we sat down for settlement conferences. This is the agreement that came out of it. It is a 2-year probation state revocation with no right to contest or appeal that revocation. It also has hours related to what was found in the deficiencies in the compliance inspection in one of the cases. It also has a period, again, like I said, state revocation, probation. Just looking here, having problems with my head. It also resolves the Superior Court case and ensures that the board is not responsible for anybody's costs or fees. So you probably heard me say it a million times before, I'm a big proponent that the board knows what's best to do with its cases. And so that's one of the reasons that you have this before you today. Again, you don't have to accept it, you can reject it, modify it, and we just move forward with the Superior Court trial de novo. But like I said, you know, the board knows what's best to do with it, and you know, this would be a way for you to maintain control over the licensee who would have the ability to reapply for licensure in March.
And on behalf of Ms. Rivera, I'll also add that there is a provision in the agreement that provides for a monitor during the term of the probation. So, again, to piggyback on Mr. Noggin's comments, the board would have some control over the certificate of the license of the manager in this case. And then upon signing the agreement, the Superior Court case will be dismissed. So there is one section that I noticed was a bit of a typo in the document that you have before you. It is right before the signature page. Section 5 has a bit of an orphan sentence at the end that I propose to be stricken. We would agree to the provision in Section 5, termination, in other words, a probation shall last 24 months, but we propose that you just strike the language. The board shall have sole discretion and authority to determine whether to respond it, and then there's no end of that sentence. So we would just propose that that be stricken because it's covered above in that agreement. Again, this was a document that was negotiated in good faith at the request of the Superior Court, and so we would recommend that the board approve it and allow Ms. Rivera to move forward with the compliance terms set forth therein.
All right, thank you.
I did forget to add, so to that point, it does appear as part of the template that I provided. Just had one on sentence that ended. It doesn't preclude the board from determining whether she is complying with the order. It just simply says if she has complied for 24 months at the end of that period, it would terminate. The other thing I wanted to point out too is that the state revocation is predicated on no substantiated violations in any compliance inspection or investigation during that 24-month period.
Okay, so this, so the potential violation that happened at the facility level?
It comes before the board, and the board substantiates as well. Like you do in most cases.
Okay, alright. Other questions from the board?
I have a question regarding actual agreement. Should I save those for after comments from council, or can I ask those now?
Good, good, yeah.
Okay, thank you. So, Mr. Monahan, one of the things I was curious about, not sure who can answer this, is the court probationary period appears to be 48 months, but our probationary period is 24 months. Is that accurate?
Oh, yes, the, it is by any past, Mr. Mayor, that, but it's my understanding that it is, I believe you have, well, how much time do you have left?
36 months.
36 months. So it was originally 48, yes, and ours is 24.
Okay, and so is there a reasoning behind the lesser probationary period for us other than some sort of back and forth in a negotiation?
No, if she were to violate her probation, then we would find out about that, and that would be a violation in and of itself.
Okay, all right, thank you.
Any other questions? Discussion regarding the consent agreement?
I'm curious about the monitoring and how is that going to be somebody appointed? Or has to be acceptable?
Pre-approved by the board staff, yes. Can't be a family member, can't be somebody that currently works there, can't be somebody who's had disciplinary history.
Okay.
And essentially it would be somebody who would do what a DHS surveyor would do to help remediate and rehabilitate.
Alright, hearing no further discussion, I'm prepared to make a motion to approve the consent agreement as modified as necessary or advantage. Do I have a second?
Second.
Ken and Susan, second. Discussion. Hearing no further discussion, roll call vote, please.
Vice President Kidder?
Aye.
Member Archer?
Aye.
Member Stephen?
Aye.
Member Hill?
No.
Member Felix?
Aye.
Member Cooper?
Aye.
Okay, motion carries.
Can either counselor provide a summary of what we should expect from here with the consent agreement or the dismissal from the court? What happens from here?
Well, pursuant to the order, this spot, they have 5 days to apply their dismissal with the Superior Court due settlement. They then have a time period by which they have to, if you have to enter into that agreement with the monitor, I believe that's 30 days from the effective date, and then you would have to provide notice to the board. And then after that, there would be 30-day reports every 30 days.
The Mr. Pomper, I believe that you would be signing on behalf of the board, and then following the full signatures, that's when the 5-day period starts for dismissal of the case, and then 10 days to submit the name for, of the proposed monitor, and then the court classes must be done within
3 months.
Yeah.
Thank you for that. And if you don't mind, I just want to ask an additional question. Is this a situation where the Superior Court has to accept this consent agreement? Is there a proceeding that happens in front of the Superior Court where they say, yes, we agree, no, we agree, or it's, as soon as we sign this, it's in the 5 days, it's dismissed?
The court has signaled that they would accept a settlement offer. for, and a dismissal due to settlement. So they, it would be highly irregular that they would not allow the case to be dismissed.
Very good, thank you. Thank you, Mr. Griffin.
All right, nothing else, this concludes this matter.
Thank you for your time, thank you for your time.
Next, we're moving on to section seven B, formal hearing on parking. Mr. Dock is here. But the record reflects that Mr. Dock is not here, so we will begin the case.
Mr. President, this is set for 10:45. My apologies. Thank you.
All right, so let's move on to section A. And what I'm going to do is I will call those that I know to be present. If you have not signed in, please do so at this time if you're here for section A at 8A. So first we'll be going to tab number 9, Elaine Grozev, complaint number 2024, NCI 0302. Welcome, I appreciate you being here today. And for the record, give your yourself, please.
Elaine Grozev.
Okay, you might want to pull that a little bit closer to you, Elaine. Push the button on it so the green light comes on. There you go.
Elaine Grozev.
Very good.
Shows complaint 2024-NCI-0302. Last to see is Elaine Grozev, who's present here today. On February 9, 2024, DHS conducted an assisted living facility compliance inspection and an assisted living facility complaint investigation at North Scottsdale Gardens Assisted Living Home located in Scottsdale. The compliance inspection and complaint investigation identified 6 deficiencies in 6 different areas. 2 of the deficiencies were repeat deficiencies. Ms. Grozev was notified of the complaint and she did provide a written response. And on approximately April 12, 2024, DHS took enforcement action and imposed a civil money penalty of $1,750 for 4 substantiated violations, 2 of those were repeat deficiencies. Ms. Grozev is here today to discuss the survey with the board.
All right, thank you, Bill.
Sure.
How long have you been a manager of this place?
19 years? Oh no, of this place?
Yes.
What, 14 or 15?
15 years?
Yeah, we opened. Mm-hmm. I'm the owner also.
Okay. And how many years are you certified for?
2.
2 residents?
Oh, I'm sorry. I thought you meant facilities. About 10.
All right, let's talk about your emergency exit. What happened there and why was the deficiency?
That wasn't on the letter that you sent me as a repeat.
Oops, wait, yeah. That's what it's showing here.
That the alarm was turned off or partially disabled.
Oh, yes. Yes, I'm sorry.
Right.
It was a repeat mess.
Okay, you said what happened and why?
My husband come up with me? He was there during the time of the... No?
He was manager.
He was there during the inspection. I was not, so he could give you a better explanation of the incident.
All right, you can come up and answer this question.
Mr. President, we're not asking what happened during the inspection. We're asking why the alarm wasn't working, something that you're responsible for. So, if the rest of the board wants to hear what happened during the inspection, totally understand if he comes up for that. But what we're asking now is why you as the manager did not meet that requirement of the regulations.
Because the caregiver turned it off.
Okay, so what sort of monitoring measures did you have in place because you had problems with this in a previous inspection?
Well, during the, it was in the backyard. It was the alarm set in the backyard, and we have our backyard fully gated so the residents can go in and out of the facility. And we had never had an issue with that being as long as the back was locked, because they like to go outside in our little courtyard area, and it was the alarm in the courtyard area. And that's it.
Like you said, it wasn't a problem, but having had this deficiency before, what sort of monitoring system did you have to make sure that it was operable?
I'm sorry. The deficiency before was to the outside, to the front. And this was to the backyard where the residents were safe and they spent a lot of time outside.
Okay. So you still haven't answered my question. What sort of monitoring system do you have in place for all of your egress sources? Sit down, please.
Okay. So there are alarms on the gates, too. Any way that the resident could get to the street, there is an alarm. But the alarm to the back door was off because the alarms on the gates were on. But that wasn't acceptable to the inspector.
Okay, so what systems do you, since you're not answering my question, I'll change the question. What monitoring systems do you have in place now to ensure the safety of all of your egress, gates, doors, locks, whatever?
I misunderstood your question. Now all of them are on at all times. Because that was the advice that we got from the inspector, to make sure they're on at all times. And all the caregivers and all the employees know that they have to stay on at all times or they will have a warning.
All right, so how do you know this, that they're on at all times?
Just by inspection, walking in and inspecting to make sure they're on.
How frequently do you do these inspections?
Daily.
Okay, we could have said that a lot earlier.
I'm sorry, I didn't understand.
All right, we also have a repeat deficiency about the storage of toxic materials.
I was unaware that essential oils was a toxic chemical. There was a couple drops of these essential oils, which is cinnamon, rosemary, and lemon, in water to wipe down the counters and freshen the air. And I was aware that was a toxic chemical.
Would those be safe for somebody drinking?
You can drink it all. Yeah, it's just the oil. We explained it to the inspector, but they weren't familiar with it. It was in a spray bottle, but maybe that was, they just didn't know. I don't know. You can drink the whole bottle and be fine.
Does it say you can drink it out of the bottle?
Mm-hmm.
Mm-hmm. It's intended for potable use.
What does potable mean?
Drinkable.
Yes, yes. People put it in their water all the time to drink it.
If you read the description of the deficiency, that might answer some of your questions.
So can you tell me what page that
is on? It is on page 1012 under citation 6 in environmental standards. Inspector describes what they see.
The surveyor had determined that item needed to be locked up. So, do you use that item in your home?
My home, yes.
And where do you store it now?
Out in the calendar, I have a baby.
You're not following the department said to keep it locked.
Do you mean in my own home or this is the living home?
It's just the living home that we're discussing.
Oh, no, we have to put it, well, we put it under lock because that's what they told us to do.
And Mr. President, just to be clear for, you know, to tell that record here, it did include the concentrated germicide. And this was part of the repeat citation from the prior inspection. So it wasn't just essential oils or what it's for.
The drops of thieves' oil, there's no germicide in there. If you look up thieves' essential oil from Young Living, the actual bottle of it, there's no germicide in there. It's just pure oil.
The surveyor seemed to indicate that the bottles had warning labels. What would those be?
You can pull up these essential oils and just look on the back.
I think the surveyor missed the confusion here. So you're talking about essential oils, and in the survey report, the inspector talks about more than essential oils, including concentrated germicide. So I think maybe there was something else. If you weren't there for the inspection, which is what you're saying, it seems like there was probably something else out that should not have been that you're not aware of. Because there's an additional item noted in the inspector's report.
So that was the only bottle, and it was kept on above the refrigerator. That was the only bottle that was out.
Okay, understood. Let's talk now about fingerprint clearance cards and renewals. What is your process today to ensure that all of your employees have up-to-date current fingerprint clearance cards?
We have now put them on a calendar. A calendar shared Apple calendar, so it will notify us a month ahead, 2 weeks ahead, day before.
Electronic calendar?
Yes.
Mr. President, Ms. Grossoff, I was curious in reading about this fingerprint clearance card. The person who engaged with the inspector sounds like it has been said, I guess we just missed it. And it sounds like now you have a process for not missing it. But I'm curious, if you've been a manager for or had this home for 15 years, why wasn't there something in place prior to now?
It was always written on a physical calendar.
Okay.
And it was overlooked.
Okay, thank you.
Any other questions? Let's make a motion.
I'd like to have you talk a little bit about, as a small facility owner and manager, how do you determine what should be on your quality management system that you have created, what have you created? I'm surprised that six deficiencies haven't ended up on some sort of constant check until at least the next inspection. Tell me about that. How does it work?
They always happen, and we have done a good job with our assisted living home. We've been in good standing with our neighbors and communities. This last year, there was a family hardship of the death of my brother-in-law from ALS, and that we had to prepare his family, his wife, and his four children, them being young, and it was just too busy. And that's not an excuse. It was just, it's what it was. So there is always a check. We have issues most of the time, but sometimes life happens and you do the best you can.
So you don't really have a system?
We do have a system. There's always on our calendar, on our now electronic calendar, there's always systems and reminders and checks. And thankfully, you can book them like the manager's fingerprints. You can book them years in advance, whereas before, you'd have to physically put them in. And you can repeat it, you know, they can repeat all of our fire drills, all of our everything, more sheets, everything can get put on the calendar, which is great because now you can, they transfer over without error.
And when did that go into effect?
That went into the effect late last year, we transferred the owner.
Thank you.
Okay, yes. All right. Based on the information contained in the investigative report, I move that the board find sufficient evidence of a violation of ARS 36-446.07B3, ARS 446-11, R 433-407A and B1 for unprofessional conduct and complaint number 2024 NCI 0302, the following manager, Elaine M. Rosoff, and the board offer a consent agreement to be signed within 10 days when the matter will be forwarded to formal hearing. The consent agreement will include the following conditions. Suspension of the certificate to stay the suspension as long as the terms of the consent agreement are met. Probation with all terms to be completed within 3 months. Reimbursement of investigative costs in the amount of $523.88. 3 hours of continuing education with the executive director and peer approval required and documented completion in the following areas. Personnel requirements and directed care services. Other terms, these continuing education hours are in addition to the renewal requirement of AR 433-50182. Any costs of probation are those of the certificate holder.
Excuse me, Ken. Do we want some additional environmental standards? Do we want some additional education concerning the environmental standards?
Yes, I'd like to include that.
And I'd like to include medication management, food services.
Right. And so an additional 3 hours is environmental services, medication management, and food services. 3 hours each. Do I have a second? Rich, second. Discussion. Discussion. We'll take it to a roll call vote.
Vice President Kinner?
Aye.
Member Stevens?
Aye.
Member Archer?
Aye.
Member Hill?
Aye.
Member Felix?
Aye.
Member Cooper?
Aye.
All right, motion carries. I appreciate you being here today.
So the board basically made a decision to offer you same consent agreement, but they've added 9 hours of continuing education in 2 months. So we're right back to the consent agreement phase. You'll receive that from staff, and then you'll choose whether or not you want to sign that and send it back to the board as a disciplinary order.
So the suspension is still in
there. Suspension is stayed. So if you sign the consent agreement as written, it stays the suspension as long as you complete all the terms of the probation, which are reimbursement, investigative costs, and continuing education. You'll still be able to work. Your certificate is still active. You'll be on probation for that 3 months. Get all those terms done. You won't be suspended. And then the order will end up being terminated. Okay. Thank you for coming down.
This section, items 15 through 30. I'll make a motion to approve the consent agreements as promulgated by support staff.
Second.
Ken and Susan, any discussion? Hearing none, take the roll call vote.
Vice President Carey?
Aye.
Member Archer?
Aye.
Member Stephen?
Aye.
Member Hill?
Aye.
Member Felix?
Aye.
Member Cooper?
Aye.
All right, motion carries.
Roseanne, they just approved your consent agreement, the one that you signed.
Yeah.
Okay. You'll get some information from staff. Thank you for coming down today. I think you just came down today to make sure that it was approved, and it was approved. So wait for some correspondence from us.
It just follow this instruction.
Yes. Yeah.
So that's for both, right?
Yes. And our phone numbers and emails are on there, so we're easy to get a hold of. Thank you very much. Okay?
All right. Is there anybody else here from section 8A, tab 1 through 14?
A3. Angels.
Yep. All right, let's go to tab 3, A3.
It starts on page 402 of your material.
Yeah, okay.
I'm sorry, can we take about 10 minute break, please?
That may have both training programs.
Okay, I just want to make sure it's both because both had issues.
Go ahead and tell us why you're here and maybe what you're trying to accomplish, and that will help give us some context.
Sure. So, well, my second question was about the refund process. Basically, I paid for one of my caregivers to go to this manager training school, and all they did was provide a booklet and a pre-filled exam, like practice exam of some sort, and that was it. And it didn't match up at all with when she went to go take the exam. There was nothing that even related to what was on the exam. And I didn't know, when looking into the rules, when I filed the complaint, I looked into what a training school should be. It actually should be a lot more than just a booklet and a pre-filled exam. And that's when I did the complaint process, and I'm kind of wondering what happens from here.
Well, the board will hear the complaint and listen to the person that's responding to it, and the board can take action as to how it deems necessary at the end of the presentation of that. But Jeff?
Yes, sir. Thank you. The other part of this is that apparently you're the one that filed this complaint.
Yes.
You're the complaining party. So. As a state agency, we've looked at your complaint, the allegations, investigated what's assigned, investigated the complaint. The board has an investigative report before them today, and that is what they're going to review and make a decision on.
So is there a better process as far as, like, how do people go about if they pay for a school and the school doesn't provide what they legally should have? How does that work? Should I go through
this? So, I, as the executive director for the agency, can't advise you on any civil matters, but traditionally I would suggest that You have rights before any court of competent jurisdiction. You follow up on any fee issues, any issues that you think that are involving money. However, this board traditionally does not get into the business of ordering refunds or anything like that.
Okay, so since I know of other people that have used the caregiver training school, you're advising, or are you not advising?
I am not advising. I'm not your attorney. I'm just trying to give you some context of what we're here to do today.
Okay.
So you got a lot of questions. So do you have anything that, and I'm going to kind of hand this back over to the board. Do you have any other thing that you would like to tell the board about this complaint or the allegations in it?
If you have with you what I initially wrote, that's probably best, because now so much time has passed since the incident. That's probably the most accurate representation of what happened, and kind of like a depth explanation. I could clarify anything if it's unclear.
Very good.
Yeah.
Thank you.
Appreciate it.
All right. Thank you for being here.
There may be, Mr. President, there may be some other questions from board members.
I have a question either for the complainant or for the investigator, probably a question for both on the timings.
Well, let's proceed.
And the training program manager's here.
Oh, okay.
So.
All right, then, let's proceed with the complaint investigation, and then we'll speak to the program administrator. So there's Esther Donnell. Come forward, please.
Good morning, board members.
Would you like an overview from Phil?
Yes, for the record, would you introduce yourself to the board, please?
One thing.
You can introduce yourself.
Okay, my name is Esther Atamo.
Okay, very well.
Phil,
you got all that. Case for us, please.
Okay. This is complaint 2024-NCI-0269. This concerns Angels Caregiver Training School. And the manager of that training program is Esther Atamo, who's present here today. The complainant in this case is Anka Maiku, who's also here today. And on approximately April 27, 2024, board received a complaint and a score from Anka Maiku concerning an employee of hers, Marianne Santos, who had enrolled as a student at Angels Caregiver Training Program. However, the student did not receive sufficient education while at the Caregiver Training Program. The allegations were that she had to study on her own, and that no other training or classroom hours were provided besides a booklet and a practice exam. Mr. Tomo, as the administrator of that caregiver program, was notified of the complaint, and she did provide a response that has been included as part of this investigation. It was the conclusion of the investigator at the time that the program failed to provide the required training to the student per board's rules, and according to the program's policies and procedures. And Ms. Atamo, as well as Ms. Mike, who are also here today to answer any questions the board has.
Phil, this complaint regarding the certified caregiver training program, I just want to make sure I'm clear.
I can clarify, President, Vice President. The recommendation for consent agreement is on the caregiver training program. There was also a complaint for the manager training program that was recommended for dismissal.
Push it again. So it's green.
Oh.
Big.
Oh. board members. It is with high spirit of optimism that I write to the NCIA board members, knowing well that this petition will be given desired attention. On November 11, 2023, I had the privilege to enroll a student of mine by the name Mary Sanchez for manager's course. She came to me and pleaded with me that she would like to come and pick up the material for the manager's course so she can take the material and study at home because she had no caregiver in her facility to take care of her residents. I refused to honor her request, but she persuaded me that she already performing her duty as a manager and had mastered everything about manager's duty, and that she cannot leave her resident alone to attend classes. After so many persuasions of hers, and also being a caregiver myself, finding a good caregiver is very difficult. I then decided for her to come and pick up the study materials and study at home. I was just trying to help her to study at home and also for her to be there for her residents. For this reason, I am deeply sorry and emotionally. I also promise the board that such a thing would never happen again. Throughout my teaching experience as a manager instructor, I have never had any issue with any of my students. I am pleading with the board members to reconsider the 1 year probation instead of giving me a warning letter for me not to repeat the practice again. As I'm writing this letter, I'm emotionally broken and very sad. Thank you so much for taking time out of your busy schedule to attend to my needs. So what happened again? She has said the owner of the facility, and she begged me. She said the manager will not allow her to get out and come to the class. And I said, no, you have to come to the class. And then after so many, begging, I said, okay, I have a full package. He said, it's a handbook. It's a handbook, but the handbook is information that will help you. I have other managers that are taking the course and pass it. The computers can look at my record. But because she didn't come to attend the class, because she doesn't have anybody to stay with her, her manager, which is Anka, will not let her leave the home. That's why I was trying to help. I wasn't in any way, I've never done this before throughout my teaching career. I was trying to help her. And not only that, after giving her all the material and all the practice tests, she left to Philippines and stayed over a month before she came back. I said, why haven't you been in your practice? I have to go to Philippines. And when she came back, I don't know whether she studied or whatever happened. She didn't pass the exam and she blamed it on me. She said, she had nothing that I did in the book that I gave her. I submitted my handbook to the NCIA board. They reviewed everything that's supposed that she will help her to pass the exam is in there. It's not that she didn't study well. And then when she gave this report, I was so sad. I said, this is somebody that I'm trying to help.
I need to interrupt you here. I'm confused. The allegation here that we're dealing with is that that one student, initials MS, said they had to study on their own and that there was no classroom or other training, clinical training, anything that was provided. Is that correct?
That's what happened. She said she will She already, she let her owner of the facility let her practice as a manager. And then this individual also took caregiver training with me, and she got 97%.
Yeah, don't talk about specific scores.
Okay. So this is why, you know.
So are you refuting the allegation that the student had to study on their own, and that there was no other training or classroom hours provided?
I gave her all the information and I told her.
You got to answer my question.
Yes.
Did you provide other training, classroom, clinical, and active study with the student?
She said she will use her home to do the clinical.
Yeah, answer my question. Is it yes or no?
No.
Okay, thank you. Any other questions on the board?
I have a couple of questions. Do you have a provision in your policy and procedures that allows for online training for managers? I guess we're talking about a manager program
yes.
right now. So do you have a provision when the rule changed that we could go to online? Did you write policy and procedures around that?
It's not in my policy and procedure.
Okay.
But they can call me, we can do a video call. If they have any issue, I can be able to explain whatever issue they have.
Well, I get that, I understand. And so, the problem as I see it is you didn't adhere to your own policy and procedures. And okay, that was my main question. The materials that you did present were approved by the board for the training program?
Yes, they have it with them. They have everything with them. I submitted everything that needed for MIHF to study. The rest of the students that have taken my course, that is the same material I gave them.
Let's get to yes and no, so we go faster. So, go ahead.
To that point, did she submit her training program and did we evaluate it? Or was the only evaluation regarding the student records?
It would still be her responsibility to ensure that all of her materials meet statute and rules. The board isn't essentially signing off. The board is saying, you presented your materials. We're signing off that you presented them. That's it.
But the rule requires the programs to provide certain standards, and now we have a complaint about that program in front of us. And so as part of our evaluation of this complaint, did we evaluate the program, or did we only evaluate the administrative requirements around
it? We only evaluate the allegation in this particular case. We evaluate all the standards you're talking about during the initial approval of the programs and everywhere else.
If I may, Director. Ms. Satamo just went through her renewal process as well, and her program was evaluated, what was it, last week, the week before? The issue with the complaint was that she did not follow her own procedure that she presented to us.
That clarifies. Thank you for letting me know it just been evaluated, but I think there's also a satisfactory concern around the content of the program, which is why I asked. Thank you, Danita, for answering that.
So I have a question, and I will direct it to our complainant here.
Nope.
I mean, to our.
To your responder.
To the responder. Beg your pardon. I'm not a lawyer. You presented your materials, and people prepare for the test. Mm-hmm. Do you have any idea what the test questions are going to be?
Like I said, I'm not, I don't have an idea what the headmaster's question they're going to present. But all I know that whatever that the NCIA board requires me to teach them in the handbook I gave them is enough for anybody that studied the material to pass the exam. She's not the only one that's taking the course. The other student, I know that the NCIA board did some interview with some of my students, and they were giving them that I'm an excellent teacher. It's just that this particular one, I was trying to help her, and I end up being in the same, in this program that I am right now. I've never done this before.
Thank you. Okay. Since this complaint came out, have you updated your policy and procedures to be able to do online training? What method do you have in place that would allow that, or are you never going to allow online training?
With what's going on, I don't think I'm going to have online training. I will have it the way I have it right now. It's still in person. It's easier for me to do it in person, and then the person can ask me any question, and then we can do the practice test and everything for them to pass the state board exam.
Okay, thank you.
Mr. President, I think that the investigator's recommendations around what to do to make sure this training provider has fixed the error and continues to comply with the administrative requirements around student records are very good. Whether or not a year is too long or not, I think in the respondent's letter, she asked for a shorter probationary period, but I do think whether it's 6 months or a year or 3 months, there should be some check that the new process around student records is being complied with. So I think in that way, the investigator, made good recommendations about how to make sure this training program operates appropriately going forward. But I don't have an opinion necessarily on the term and agree that investigative costs need to be reimbursed as well.
Seamus Jack, what statute or rule are we referencing for this?
That would be 446.03Q.
446.03Q.
One and two.
One and two?
Yeah. And that's then as it relates to...
Are you looking at the role for disciplinary action, Seamus?
R 433-606.
Yep. AAC, yep. R 433-606, subsection C. I'm sorry, I didn't interrupt.
No.
Okay, next, motion here. Based on the information contained in the investigator's report, I believe the board finds sufficient evidence of a violation of ARS 446.03Q 1 and 2, R 433-606C. And complaint number
0269
against
Angels Caregiver Training School.
Angels Caregiver Training School. And board the board to be offered a consent agreement to be signed within 10 days, or the matter will be forwarded to formal hearing. Is that correct?
Yes.
Okay. Consent agreement shall include the following conditions: suspend the manager training program but stay the suspension as long as the probation conditions are met, to be signed within 10 days, probation for 1 year. Provide the board within 10 days of each new student a copy of their admission agreement. Provide the board a copy of the entire student record within 10 days upon completion of the program. The board may conduct an on-site visits. Reimbursement of investigative costs of $727.85 All costs are the responsibility of the training program.
Vice President, two, Member Hill's recommendation, would you like to include in there to report before the board in 6 months?
Mr. President.
I was going to say the probation is recommendation was a year. She requested 6 months, and my only comment was I could live with either as long as the other conditions were included in the consent agreement.
Mr. President, and it's the board's discretion on the decision. Given the circumstances of the case, I think a 1 year probation is appropriate. So I would agree with the investigator's recommendation. This can't happen again. And I think 1 year is appropriate for us in oversight with the probation.
So there's a motion on the table. There's no second. Is Susan second? Okay, now Rich, continue. If the motion on the table goes forward, I guess if I understand it correctly, the program will be put on probation for a year. Is that correct?
Yes.
And are there other students in this program who will be adversely affected and or who have already paid monies for education that this person will no longer be able to give?
It would be
we need to consider the ramifications other than just
just what's in front of you. I would encourage you to just take what's in front of you. You have a clear violation, and you know whatever happens with her business or outside of that, really, it's her responsibility.
And the probation is she's still teaching.
She's
still providing the training. She's still providing training.
Okay.
She just has to meet these protocols now. So a 6 month review, I don't know that that would be necessary.
You had stated something about compliance, so I just felt if you really wanted to review compliance in 6 months, you could have her come back.
Yeah, Mr. President, since we have just reviewed her program for renewal, then I think the recommendations that they stand are fine. If that had not been recently done, I would ask for that as well. But since that review was just done, there's no reason to have staff to immediately review it. And then since this is the discussion, I'll just say too that we have a lot of training programs, so I appreciate the manager taking the initiative to bring her concerns to the board. We do not engage, as the director said, in any of the civil or money disputes between parties, but we are responsible for making sure these training programs are appropriately delivered and aligned. So thank you for bringing this to the board.
Okay, hearing no further discussion, I'd like to take a roll call vote, please.
Vice President Kidder?
Aye.
Member Archer?
Aye.
Member Stephen?
Aye.
Member Hill?
Aye.
Member Felix?
Aye.
Member Copeland?
Aye.
All right, motion carries. Appreciate you being here today, and our staff will be in communication with you about this. All right, next I'd like to make a motion to accept staff recommendation for disciplinary consent agreement. Action may also include summary suspension of the license or certificate issued to the location for items 1, 2, 5, 6, 7, 8, 11, 12, 13, and 14.
Second.
And Susan, second.
You skipped 9.
All right, we'll take it to a roll call vote. Hearing no further discussion.
Vice President Kidder?
Aye.
Member Archer?
Aye.
Member Stephen?
Aye.
Member Hill?
Aye.
Member Felix?
Aye.
Member Copeland?
Aye.
All right, motion carries. Thank you. Okay. Okay, next we move on to section 8B. This is for staff recommendation for non-disciplinary letter of concern. Action may include rejection of the recommendation and offer of disciplinary consent agreement in any of the following cases. All right, I do see that one individual was here. Rich would like to discuss tabs 18 and 19. Cornelio Niculescu, are you here today? Are you looking to reflect that that person is not here? Philip, you want to do your question? Do you want to do your case?
Mr. President, I think I would prefer to have the discussion with the respondent, Cornelio, because in looking at the material that was given to him, quite honestly, I found it quite confusing. As you said, he said different licenses were out there. It was not clear what occurred and when it occurred. I think he needs to be on the record here to really pursue it further. I would like to have him request for him to show up at the next meeting then.
Okay. So at this point, you're not comfortable with this, with just a letter of concern?
No, I'm not comfortable.
Have you had the opportunity to speak?
I think there are issues here that he is. I probably shouldn't say what I think at this point, but I should probably just let it go. I'm not comfortable with a letter of concern.
The alternative, Mr. President, the alternative would be to make a motion for any type of proposed consent agreement if you felt it rose to the level of disciplinary action. Otherwise, the board could direct staff to issue a subpoena for next month and have them appear in front of the board in a little different setting. So, just a thought.
I'm not prepared at this point. I think it's really what I hear from him will help me determine, do we go forward with it in a more formal penalty phase, or do we back up and give him a letter of concern. I'm not prepared to do that today. Also, I guess I would request that he come at the December meeting that, rather than the November meeting, as I will not be here to ask the questions in November.
So, Mr. President, board member, do you want us to request, or do you want us to tell him to be here? Because if you request him to be here, it's his choice whether he decides to show up or not.
Well, I guess the question I have is what if I tell him to be here and he is not here,
then he's in violation of board order, which is a further violation obligation of statute.
I would like to have a tell him to be here.
So,
and I would like that to be a request for the December meeting.
Okay.
Would you make that a motion?
Yes.
I'll make a motion
to subpoena the manager to attend the December meeting.
It's a subpoena, I guess.
It's a subpoena. Yeah.
Okay. All right. So Rich makes a motion and I'll second. Discussion. Hearing none. Take a roll call vote.
Member Stephen.
Aye.
Vice President Kidder.
Aye.
Member Archer.
Aye.
Member Hill.
Aye.
Member Felix.
Aye.
Member Cover.
Aye.
All right, motion carries. Okay, so I will make a recommendation to approve staff recommendation for non-disciplinary letter of concern for items 1 through 17, 20, 21, and 22.
And there's one case that's in.
Oh, yeah, and one more. C9, Lori Frucci. If you look on page 3298 of the packet, it is recommending letter of concern. Thank you, Phil.
Okay.
But also, I'd like to include tab C9 as my motion.
Second.
And Susan, second. Discussion, I'd like to take a roll call vote, please.
Vice President Kinner?
Aye.
Member Archer?
Aye.
Member Stephen?
Aye.
Member Hill?
Aye.
Member Felix?
Aye.
Member Cofer?
Aye.
All right, motion carries. Thank you very much. So anybody that is in attendance here that has, we've just adjudicated the non-disciplinary letter of concern, you may leave at this time.
Mr. President, you have 2 minutes until your 10:45 hearing.
Okay. On the agenda under 8B, you may leave if you wish. Facility managers. The subject of this hearing is set forth in the complaint and notice of hearing. The This is a formal administrative hearing to determine if there are any violations of the board statutes and rules and whether disciplinary action is warranted. Board members present for this hearing are, and roll call please.
Vice President Kinnear.
Here.
Member Archer.
Here.
Member Stevens.
Here.
Member Hill.
Here.
Member Felix.
Here.
Member Cooper.
Here.
Member Hill, thank you. Let the record show that the board members have been furnished copies of the complaint notice of hearing, the respondent's answer, if one was filed, and all pleadings of record. And now that both parties identify themselves for the state.
Yes, Assistant Attorney General James Monahan represents the state.
Okay. And if you please could introduce yourself.
Earl Bakken.
Okay, and are you represented by an attorney today?
No.
Okay. And are you ready to proceed?
Yes.
Do you understand that you have the right to be represented by an attorney today?
Yes.
Do you understand that by proceeding without representation of legal counsel, you are waiving your right to such representation at this hearing?
Say that again.
Do you understand that by proceeding without representation of legal counsel, you are waiving your right to such representation at this hearing today?
Okay.
Of course, you may seek legal counsel in any subsequent proceeding such as an appeal.
That will happen, yes, sir.
All right. You understand that this hearing is your opportunity to present testimony and evidence on your behalf.
Yes, that's not really what I'm here, but I understand that.
Okay. You understand that should you appeal the board's decision, the record you make at this hearing today will be evidence considered by a court in determining whether the board's decision was proper.
Yes.
Okay. All right, is the state ready to proceed?
Aye, yes.
Okay. Probably preliminary matters of hearing of this nature differs from a court proceeding. The technical rules of evidence do not apply. Reliable hearsay evidence is admissible. The board will entertain objections concerning irrelevant, repetitious, or otherwise inadmissible evidence. However, the board is the sole judge in the weight given up to the evidence received. In a disciplinary proceeding, the state bears the burden of proof and shall go first and present its case. And the respondents shall present their case. The burden of proof in an administrative hearing is the preponderance of the evidence, which means sufficient evidence to establish that a fact is more likely true than not. After it hears all the evidence and the arguments of the parties, the board will deliberate and decide whether to dismiss the case or to take appropriate disciplinary action. All persons who are called as witnesses in this matter, including the respondent, please raise your right hand and repeat your name to the board.
Phil Warren.
Phil Smith.
I'm Laura Cedar.
Okay.
Earl Warren.
Okay. All right. So here's the oath. Do you solemnly swear to tell the truth, the whole truth, and nothing but the truth, so help me God?
Yes.
Second. Okay. Before hearing testimony from the witnesses, are there any preliminary matters that the board should consider?
Not being safe, no.
Okay. And is the state wish to make an opening statement?
Yes, thank you. Good morning, board members. Assistant Attorney General James Monahan, representing the state. Respondent is a certificate holder and has a valid certificate currently with his board. This case is in front of you. Because the DHS and the board determined that respondent committed multiple actionable violations of board statute and rule. When ACDHS round 5 substantiated violations, including two repeat violations during October 12, 2023 complaint investigation. The results of the investigation showed 23 deficiencies in 10 different areas. Ultimately, there on December 7th, 2023, there was an enforcement action for $3,000 on those 5 substantiated violations, including the 2 repeat violations. The board investigated this matter and the board heard this matter on July 15th. At that time, a consent agreement was offered. September 16th, 2024, respondent served the complaint notice of hearing after timely requesting that hearing. With the assistance of the board's investigator, Mr. Smith, I'm going to present all this information. information to you, which will show a violation of ARS 36446.07B8, which allows the board to take action against the manager for failure to know and comply with all federal and state laws related to the operation of an assisted facility, including violations of state rule, including R910806, 811, 88, and 818, as they relate to personnel matters, medical records, emergency and safety standards. In the evidentiary portion of this hearing, I'm going to direct you to the complaint notice of hearing and respectfully request that you issue a doubt the potential violations and factual allegations, that your findings of fact and conclusions of the law as stated, and then that you take action as deemed necessary in this matter.
Can you do me a favor? Will you outline what's going to happen here? I might be able to save you a lot of time.
In a formal hearing, it's very procedural. Okay. They have to follow the procedure. So the state will present their case, and then you'll have opportunity to present your case.
Well, I would like to. I don't like that idea. The reason I'm here, this brings right to the. I'm really fed up with this whole business, and I decided to. I sold the business. I want out. I don't want no more to do with it. So the reason I'm here is I called. I don't know. Seamus, one of the guys I talked on the phone. He said, okay. I said I want to cancel my license. I told him that. Well, if you want to cancel your license, you need to sign this. I said I'm not signing anything. I want to be heard of what's going on here. And that's the reason I'm here. I just want my chance to say what I want to say.
And this will be your opportunity to do so.
So I don't want to go through item by item by item. I'm not disputing those. Well, I am, but not in the way that you're going to do it.
Well, that's really not your option at this point. This is a formal hearing, and we have to follow through with the hearing for our state guidelines.
Okay.
So it won't take real long.
Well, what I'm trying to say is, if you go through item by item, I'm not going to dispute them. I am, but in not the way that you're
okay, you have opportunity. You'll have opportunity to, okay, to express that. We need to continue with the hearing unless counsel would suggest otherwise.
No, I agree you should continue with the hearing, and I would just perhaps clarify whether Mr. Bakken wants to make an opening statement or if his remarks just.
I want my voice heard. That's what I want, because I feel that up to this point, nobody has heard anything I've said. That's the reason I'm here. I'm not here to dispute that idea, but not that reason. I want 15 minutes to say what I want to say. That's it.
All right, so the board can consider your remarks just now as this opening statement, and then later have an opportunity to testify and provide more detail and cross-examine the state witnesses, should you do that.
I don't want to cross-examine.
Okay, you certainly don't have to, but you have an option of doing that. I think at this point, you can proceed with the state's case.
Okay, very well. So we consider that your opening statement, so now the state can call their first witness.
Thank you. The state calls Investigator Phil Smith. And just for brevity, the fact that these facts are in dispute and that the respondent's admitting the facts, I will just go through this in a quick fashion for you. All right. Please state your name for the record.
Philip Smith, Board Investigator, last 20 years.
And what are your duties and responsibilities?
Currently, my main duties are to conduct complaint investigations and sample reports and present them to the board on a monthly basis and also testify at home.
Did you have any previous investigatory experience prior to coming to this board?
Yes, I had 20 years in law enforcement.
And are you familiar with this case?
I am.
Did you offer the report in this matter?
I did.
And, okay, excellent. So, moving on. At this time, the state would like to just admit exhibits 1 through, proposed exhibits 1 through 4 into the record.
Okay. Any objection? Hearing none, exhibits 1 through 4 are so admitted.
Okay, thank you. This is a monitor review stage exhibit 1. Do you recognize this?
I do.
What is it?
This is a copy of my investigative report for complaint 2024-NCI-0081, authored on August 16, 2024, concerning manager of Robert S. Fire.
And during this during this report, did you review the documents that were provided by DHS?
I did.
And what were the documents that you reviewed?
It was a DHS statement of deficiencies from their survey, compliance inspection, complaint investigation that they conducted on October 12, 2023 at Hoover Haven, located in Wisconsin. That survey identified 23 deficiencies in 10 different areas with 2 repeat deficiencies. Documentation also includes a copy of the enforcement agreement form where it indicates that DHS took enforcement action on December 18, 2023 and imposed a civil money penalty of $3,000 for 5 substantiated violations and 2 of those were repeat deficiencies.
And what were those five substantiated violations?
They were. One caregiver's skills and knowledge were not verified and documented before the caregiver provided physical health services to residents. And this was a repeat deficiency from the complaint investigation conducted on April 19, 2023. The second substantiating deficiency was one employee's CPR training was invalid as it was online only and did not include a return demonstration. This was a repeat deficiency from the complaint investigation conducted on April 19, 2023. Third substantiating deficiency was the manager failed to maintain medical records for former residents. Deficiency number 4 was no employee disaster drills were conducted during the past 12 months. And the 5th substantiated deficiency was no evacuation drills for employees and residents were conducted during the past 12 months.
And during your investigation, were you able to determine who Arizona Department of Health Services identified as the manager of record?
Yes, it was on this card.
Turning to page 44 and 45, is that the signed enforcement agreement form that you for Hummingbird Haven?
It is.
Thank you.
That is the
okay, sorry, yes. Lastly, turning to exhibit 4, do you recognize this document?
I do.
What is it?
It is a copy of a complaint notice appearing for today's formal hearing, October 21st, 2024, at 10:45 a.m. for complaint 2024-NCI-0081 concerning Mr. Earl Bakken.
And the allegations are found at page 50 to 54.
That's correct.
Are these the same allegations that are found in the DHS report?
They are.
And below that is also the alleged violations at page 54 and 55. Are those the same substantiated violations that were found in the report?
They are.
Thank you, Steve Russ.
Okay, Mr. Bakken, you're in your own half, so that's your problem. Pardon me if I kind of rattle. This is a big topic, so I guess I'm going to have to try to break it down. But first of all those allegations in there are related to the records. And I wrote 2 long letters to the health department, right? Tiffany Slater, the director of the licensing thing, and I never got a response to any of them. And the crux of this matter is the particular, what do you call it? Not cop, what's the name of the term? The compliance officer. We've had the same lady, Michelle Tynan, since I opened the place up. I don't want to swear, but she is really difficult. From the very first day that I opened this business up, she came and did a survey. Threatened to shut me down on the first day. You know why? I didn't have enough residents. And I said, well, I'm new at this. I'm trying to get some residents. You got any ideas? No. Oh, no, we can't get involved that. So she threatened to shut me down right away the first day I met her because of not having enough residents. And then she's just a bully. She just peppered me with where's this, where's that, and I had them on the computer. I had them, really certain. I found them all, and I got everything she wanted. But that's her style. She's intimidating and pushy, and just very difficult person. So, for instance, I know that I can stand up, but
this time that she's talking about here is repeat deficiencies. It's all records. And the last time she was there, I paid a consultant $4,000 to go through my records to make sure everything was right up to snuff, exactly everything was together. I had it all laid out, sitting there right on the office. So I get a call. Our manager, I hired a consultant to help me. And so that person just happened to be in the hospital. So I was over by Shea. I was at the hospital. They're going to see how she's doing. And evidently, Michelle was at our facility doing an investigation, and she emailed me. Well, I was in the hospital. I didn't get it right away. So what does she do next? Call me? No. She calls the operations manager, who she knew was already under investigation for fraud and a bunch of other stuff. She called that person instead of me. And I was right there when that call came in. And I listened to what was going on. Everything sounded good. Oh, yeah, I got everything I need. Everything's good. And then, okay, we're good. So just to kind of check, I called her back an hour later. Michelle, did you get everything? Oh, yeah, everything's fine. I got everything I needed. Baloney. So what happened, there was an older lady that was the manager designee at that time. Really nice lady. And you can imagine what happened when a bully like that comes in and gets hurt. Now, this is hearsay, because this is what she told me. But so Michelle comes in, okay, he's in the office, so we have to have a lock on it. She opens the door, goes in there. Then Michelle, like this pepper, okay, oh, wait a minute, I need this. Then they go, lock the door. And come back, I need to go back in the door. And she's getting her all messed up. And all scared and stuff like that. This is a lady, like 70 years old, and the lady I'm talking about finally just got so frustrated. I don't know anything, and she just shut down. Wouldn't talk to her anymore. So Michelle says, I can't find any records. They're all sitting right there on the counter, right where I had them all laid out for her. Everything was right there. But no, she can't find them. She can't find anything. So all the stuff that I got written up to was because she bullied this caregiver, not the operations manager, bullied her and got her to just, I give up. I can't say anything, I don't know anything. And then here's another thing in there. You know, that thing about the CPR training, that was me and my wife. And we had all that documentation. Michelle didn't like it because who authorized it? I think it said Red Cross and National Lung Association, something like that. Well, that wasn't good enough for her. So if you read in the, the site, it says in there you can do an informal dispute resolution. The only thing you can dispute is the facts. You can't bring in anything in like what I'm just saying. That's not allowable information there. So how long, so I got to go back to the, and I had the same CPR training, the same person since 4 years ago. And all of a sudden now it's not good enough. So for me to dispute it, I got to go back to the person that wrote it out, say, hey, this is what they say. And he said, no, that's not right. This is lawful. So I mean, that takes time. Meanwhile, I'm losing my 14 days. I can't dispute it. I lost the time to dispute it. And I'm going to back up a minute. I've been an architect and a contractor since 84 here in Phoenix. And when I first came to Phoenix, the city inspectors were just really murdered. They would come in there. I've got so many stories. They would just nail it with everything. So a while back, I was at another job. I ran into an electrical inspector, and I was telling him some stories about how my experience. He says, no, that's not that. So Phoenix has orders now to solve problems. Don't just write tickets and walk away. That's what the health department needs to do. They have no interest in solving the problem. In fact, one of the consultants that I hired was a nurse, and she applied for a job being an inspector. So the first thing they asked her, what do you think this job involves? She said, this is like to help people and help things go along, do this and all that kind of stuff. No, that's not what. Your job is to write citations, period. That's what she was told. Well, she didn't take that job. So that's the mindset of this health department. Just write a citation to get the hell out of there. Try to explain something, doesn't matter. In fact, that very first manager I talked to, that first time she came in, she got written up for the CPR thing too. And she tried to explain to Michelle, hey, I'm an instructor. I don't need to. She wouldn't listen to that. So we had to go fight that. Just every stupid thing that comes along, I get nailed by. And most of it, I feel, is not justified. She's using that bully pulpit to push around and make all these accusations. It's like you can stop a policeman. They can, you know, write you a ticket or they can go, hey, your tires aren't going, they can make it. And that's what she does. She goes around and just tries to find how many things she can find. Here's another example of it. That lady I was talking about was under investigation. I didn't know that at the time, but she called me in a house that she was managing was getting shut down. Five people had nowhere to go. Earl, can Hummingbird Haven take those people? I said, yeah, we can take them. Yeah, I knew they were going to be low paid, but I said, you know, I'll help out, I'll take them. So I get over to the house. There's 50 people there. Michelle's there, the people that, you know, the people that investigate abuse, they were there, all these people were there. And I saw Michelle, and I thought, okay, she's here to help, you know, facilitate this line, get, make sure it goes smooth. She's going to see how many citations she can write while she's there. No interest in making sure everything is going through. These people are going to be, you know, cared for. And then another thing, you know, I kind of question the Board of Nursing's role in this whole thing. You know, why am I not talking to the licensing people instead of you guys? You didn't really do an investigation. You just said what's on the paper. You didn't talk to anybody. You didn't talk to me, anything like that. That no really investigation was done. And then, okay, so these five people are coming in. Well,
It is relevant.
It's relevant to what I'm saying. It's very relevant. Very
not relevant. Relevant to the survey that we're discussing and the actions that the board had taken.
So all those are a result of Michelle bullying my character, my manager representative, into getting her own tizzy and saying, I don't know what anything is. So all those are written up because she couldn't find the $4,000 worth of records that I had all sent and ready for, every single one of them. And I made sure I went with the slave itself. Spent a whole week and $4,000 doing that. And none of that was looked at because she bullied that lady.
Okay, there may be some questions from the board, but prior to that, the state will have an opportunity to ask you some questions if they have any questions. So I think we've got a picture of how you feel and what happened in the survey.
There's one thing, one more I got to say. That lady from the, was it DHS? She was like a mad woman in there. She was coming in, I'm going to get them, I'm going to take them down. She just had it. She was going to get that person. That was her whole mindset. And you think Michelle would step in and have something? No, nothing. And then on top of that, they froze the funds of all those five people. So I get five people and I can't get any money from any of them. That cost me $9,000 because they froze all their bank accounts without saying anything to me. So I mean, I just feel like I've been just stepped on it. And you know, if you read what the health department's mission statement, nothing like what they actually do. It's supposed to be, you know, make Thursday go smooth, help people get things, you know. That's not what they do at all. Is I'm going to get you. That's their whole attitude.
All right. Anything else? Maybe then we need to move forward in the hearing. So at this time, we do cross examination by the state.
So like I said,
the state has no cross examination.
I was willing to just drop the license. I don't want it anymore.
Now it's the opportunity for the board to ask questions. Okay. Does the board have questions?
I have two questions, Mr. President. Mr. Bakken, how many residents are currently in your home?
I don't own it.
The home that you're the manager of?
I'm not the manager of the home. I sold the home, renounced my manager's license, I am no longer involved with it.
How many were in the home at the time of the inspection?
Well, it depends if you count those five or not. It was less than 10. And okay. Then when they came in, they accused me of having too many people in there.
Okay, so then, Mr. Kidd, Mr. Bakken, so you're surrendering your manager's license? Is that what you're saying?
I forgot who I talked to, one of these guys.
I think you corresponded with me.
Yeah, I said, I want to drop my license. I don't want it more. I don't want it clear. And he says, oh, you can do that, but you got to sign it. And I'm not signing nothing until I get a chance to talk.
And that's why we're here.
That's why we're here.
Okay.
Yep. What do you want this board to do with this?
Well, this system needs to get shook up. And I'm going to help it get shook up. And I'm hoping that you're going to see the problem and help me change things.
So,
now, just take the
so what did you want the board to do with this?
I want to do this on record of what I said, what happened. I want it on record. That's my main point.
I'm sorry for interrupting.
No, maybe that clarifies it. So what? One of the things you would like to do here today, Mr. Bakken, is to give back your manager's license. Is that
accurate? Yeah, I don't want it. I don't want it.
Okay.
I wasn't willing to sign that stuff.
Okay, understood. Thank you.
So just so we're clear, the opportunity that's before us is to preserve your manager's
license. No, I don't want it.
And so we can just move to a voluntary surrender then. Without further ado.
But I just, I want what I said on record that these things are happening. And I've already got to, this is another thing, that Michelle coerced that older lady into making a false statement. It's not right. In fact, I got the attorney general looking into that. I'm going to go after her for that, for false statements.
Okay, thank you. All right, at this time, do you rest your case?
There's a lot more, like I said, but that won't do any good.
You rest your case?
Yeah.
Okay, very well. And then we're testing this case. So this now concludes the evidentiary portion of the administrative hearing. The board will now hear closing arguments. State Major, then a closing argument.
Thank you, board members. I'll make it brief. Again, the facts aren't in dispute here.
They are in
the respondent was the manager of the facility at the time that the complaint investigation was conducted. There was deficiencies that were found, substantiated, and an enforcement agreement was signed with those details involved. So again, the state would just respectfully request that you adopt the factual allegations and potential violations of law as your findings of fact and conclusions of law stated, and that you order a decision here today that you're comfortable with. Thank you.
Okay. Mr. Bakken, do you have a closing statement?
Like I said, all of those are a result of a bullying investigator. They're not true because she couldn't find them, didn't want to find them.
Okay. All right, having heard the testimony, reviewed the evidence and arguments of the parties, the board will now discuss the case. The board can begin with general discussion or entertain motions. Counsel direction from here. If he wants to voluntarily surrender his certificate, may he do so.
My recommendation would be that the board complete the hearing and make findings of fact and conclusions of law.
Right.
You could then debate the appropriate resolution, which may include an order and perhaps other options.
All right, it'll need your help in a paragraph to cite. The first item for discussion is the findings of fact. The complaint makes parties and jurisdiction at paragraphs
1 through 3.
And factual allegations at paragraphs
1 through 6.
The board will now discuss whether the state has proven these allegations. I will make a motion. I move that the board finds that the state has demonstrated by a preponderance of the evidence at the parties and jurisdiction and factual allegations in the complaint. I move that the board adopts these allegations and the board's finding of fact.
Second.
And Susan. Discussion. And roll call vote, please.
Vice President Kidder?
Aye.
Member Archer?
Aye.
Member Stephen?
Aye.
Member Hill?
Aye.
Member Felix?
Aye.
Member Cobra?
Aye.
Okay, motion carries. Second item for discussion is conclusions of law. The complaint makes conclusions of law in paragraphs
1 through 2.
1 through 2. The board will now discuss whether the findings of fact which we have just adopted constitute a violation or violations of our statutes or rules. I'll make a motion. I move that the board finds the findings of fact constitute a violation of the statutes and rules set forth in the complaint, and that the board adopt those alleged violations as conclusions of law.
Second.
And Susan, second. Discussion. Roll call vote, please.
Vice President Kidder?
Aye.
Member Archer?
Aye.
Member Stephen?
Aye.
Member Hill?
Aye.
Member Felix?
Aye.
Member Cooper?
Aye.
All right, motion carries. The final issue for discussion is the board's order. The board may consider the following actions pursuant to
is able to issue a order for surrender or anything like that if he doesn't agree to it and sign it. Your only alternative, if you're thinking that these facts rise to the level of revocation, is to issue that revocation order, which has the same force and effect as a voluntary surrender.
Okay. I'll make a motion for revocation. Discussion.
Just a quick comment, Mr. President, that I think with 23 violations, many of which have a very direct crosswalk to resident safety, especially as documented in the report, I would say, I support the motion, and I just wanted to put that on the record.
Okay.
And before that vote, I just have one additional thought, Mr. President, members of the board, if you don't mind. The only other alternative that I can think of is if the board would consider some sort of interim agreement not to practice up until the time that his manager certificate would expire. Again, that's a consent agreement, but it effectively protects the public. He's not working. And then he chooses not to renew his manager certificate, and that would be over. I'm not suggesting that that is the best thing to do in this case. You have the state represented by counsel, and you have your advisor here, but that's the only other thing that I can think of within the power of the board that's not a revocation where he agrees not to work, signs a consent agreement to that, would not necessarily have a violation of state law or rule, but you're punching the certificate because he's agreeing not to work, and then he would not renew his manager certificate. So I'm not trying to complicate the record. That's the only other thought I've had.
Okay, let's use that as a backup. I'd like to leave a motion on the table.
Yeah, and before we vote then, I would like to say again, Mr. President, that I think that there's pretty clear evidence that there's no administrative control at this home. If you read about the condition of some of the residents, it's pretty intense. And I think without any kind of indication of recognition of the violations or intent to address or fix them, I don't know that we have any other real options before us other than the motion we've already made. Thank you.
All right, so we'll run the vote and see how we do. So, roll call vote, please.
Vice President Kidder?
Aye.
Member Archer?
Aye.
Member Stephen?
Aye.
Member Hill?
Aye.
Member Felix?
Aye.
Member Goldberg?
Aye.
All right, motion carries. This concludes the formal hearing. The board's decision will be reduced to a written order and served on the parties. Parties have further appeal rights that will be explained in the board's order. This concludes this matter. Thank you.
So nothing else that I see. Is this item going to get brushed under the table, right?
So the board has made a decision to issue an order to revoke your manager's certificate.
I told you that I wanted. That's fine. I knew that.
So that's within the purview. All the other things that you mentioned, they don't necessarily have jurisdiction to address. You may want to consider addressing them directly with DHS.
Yeah, I will definitely do that. Why is the nursing board involved? You don't have any control over it.
And I wanted to say, obviously, this is something that gets you really emotional.
Yeah.
Eventually, you know, thank you for participating in the process. If nothing else, it's very much appreciated, and the board needed to hear from you today, and they did. So thank you for that.
I'm going to write letters to everybody that I
thank you, sir.
Everybody.
I appreciate it. Have a good day.
Yeah. Hey, we're going to have a break. Final page. I get you all out here. Not too long. Okay. All right, let's move on to section 8C. I'm going to say items 1 through 54, excluding number 9, number 24, number 38. I make a motion to...
Mr. Kidder, I have two others I would like to pull, please.
Okay.
Number 19, last name Griffiths. And number 35, last name Caswell.
Okay, so I'll withdraw my motion. Let's go to tab 19.
By someone who is
not a predator, to be a little direct about it, who hasn't recently been arrested. And when asked about these two fingerprint clearance cards, our licensee said, well, I believe that they had initiated the process. Well, they had not initiated the process, so we had not checked if they had initiated the renewal process. And so I feel a combination of, you know, as you know, from me being on this board for 2.5 years now, I just don't think we can tolerate laziness around fingerprint clearance cards, especially, you know, it's always a, like, how many are we talking about? In a 150 resident facility, it's one of eight records. It was probably an accident or an oversight. If it's 205, you're really not paying attention to the state safety standards around staffing. So what I would ask for in this case is a letter of concern so that we can monitor this manager and make sure he stays on top of this the safety standard for residents. And I don't know if Mr. Griffiths is here, but he's been a manager for 5 years. He should know better. He's only at this home 15 hours a week. And when I see that managers are spending a lot of time doing their job, that's another, I guess, indicator for me that we need to make sure they're paying attention and that they know we're watching. And so, again, that's my reason for the letter of concern.
So, actually, is it that the mobile fingerprinting company did not deliver them to DPS initially, but they did in other data facility?
When I read it, Mr. President, it looked like the mobile, they were called out after the deficiency was discovered.
Right. And that was one of my concerns, is that in the manager's response, he implied the process had been initiated, and somehow, somewhere along the way, somebody dropped the ball. But in the interview, the surveyor is saying, no, that was never initiated. There's no record that it was initiated. No evidence was provided that it was initiated. And so I can understand feeling kind of panicked, being like, oh, okay, I'm going to say this. But it just makes me that much more concerned that we need to have a little bit of a thing in the file for the future. And that would be the like, concern.
He works there 8 hours.
Okay, 8 hours, I thought it was 15, thank you.
15 is the second one.
Yeah.
You work more of the second place than the first.
Yeah, if 8 hours is sufficient, fine. 15 hours is sufficient, fine. But when you have violations and you're not checking the most basic boxes of resident safety, you're not doing your job.
I'm good with the letter of concern. Notice.
So I need a motion.
Do you want to do it, Director, or I can do it?
Do you mind if we have it in front of you? Okay, thank you. You're faster than I am.
I move that the board finds insufficient evidence of a violation in complaint number, what's it here, 2024-NCI-0264 against manager Adam Griffiths. But issue a letter of concern. The board's concern is the manager failed to maintain two valid fingerprint clearance cards.
Second.
And the Susan second. Let's take this to a roll call vote, please.
Vice President Kidder?
Aye.
Member Archer?
Aye.
Member Stephen?
Aye.
Member Hill?
Aye.
Member Felix?
Aye.
Member Cope.
All right, motion carries.
Mr. President, I wordsmithed the LLC manager failed to ensure.
The manager failed to maintain two valid fingerprint clearance cards.
Thank you. Thank you very much.
All right, next let's move on to tab 35. Kyle Caswell. All right, Phil, you
2024-NCI-0300. Licensee is Kyle Spencer. On February 16, 2024, DHS conducted an assisted living facility compliance inspection on 11 assisted living facility complaint investigations at Bethesda Gardens located in Phoenix. The compliance inspection and complaint investigations identified 14 deficiencies in 7 different areas. 2 of the deficiencies were repeat deficiencies. Mr. Spencer was noticed of the complaint and he did provide a written response. On approximately April 23rd, 2024, DHS took enforcement action and posted a civil money penalty of $10,000 for 7 substantiated violations. 2 of the deficiencies were repeat deficiencies. It is noted that Mr. Coswell only worked at the facility for 4 months prior to the DHS survey. And when he came to the facility was not functioning very well. There was numerous turnover in several leadership positions, which resulted in a lack of compliance in several areas. And the substantial fine of $7,500 in personnel records can be attributed to the turnover in the business office manager position. There's a lot going on in this place. Obviously, a $10,000 fine is substantial, but in my review, I didn't think Mr. Casual was culpable for these violations.
Okay, great. Well, thanks. All right, Rebecca.
Thank you. A couple of the reasons I pulled this particular one is, so the lack of fall prevention and recovery training is a repeat violation. And, you know, a lot of folks call this requirement just an administrative requirement. That's actually to help prevent falls and then if someone falls to be able to appropriately react. And in this particular facility, we had a gentleman who fell, was on the floor for a very long time. This facility, one of the items of concern in the survey is that it wasn't appropriately staffed. They had one med tech for every 15 to 20 residents with a floating caregiver. And managers are responsible for staffing. And so I felt like the combination of the lack of appropriate staffing, the lack of appropriate response when there was a fall, combined with the fact that there wasn't any fall prevention or recovery training. This is one of those things where I feel like this place is another accident waiting to happen. I agree that the DHS fine on the facility was substantial, but managers are also responsible for staffing. And so I wanted to, again, have at least a letter of concern in this manager's file.
And what would your concern be?
I'd like to read here from the DHS. The concerns are that the manager failed to ensure the facility had sufficient qualified staff to meet the needs of residents. I could probably actually leave it at that because that's a pretty broad statement covering most of the deficiencies in the report. Which would include the fall prevention and recovery, which is a repeat violation.
Billy said he was only there for 4 months when the survey occurred.
Yeah, that never not told.
And what is the capacity of this facility? You know?
147?
Yes, 147, and the census was 126.
A large.
That's a difference,
yeah.
So, hearing Member Hill's concerns, I also have concerns on the other side where cautiously maybe how we approach a manager who's stepping into a building to help rescue it, to help it from being bad like it was or whatever scenario was going on, and somebody has the guts or fortitude to step in. And what issues do they address first, especially in a large community? Staffing is always an issue. And certainly resident hands-on care, for me, would be my next issue. I do go back and look at past surveys if I do this and look to correct those quickly. And so should we be determining how long that process should take and penalize somebody if they didn't do it quickly enough. That's just the counter concern. I don't want to dissuade people from going in and trying to do a good job.
Very interested in what the next survey is going to say.
Yeah, and that's the thing. And the letter of concern, though not disciplinary, still gives people pause.
Phil, do we know, was this manager already an employee of this facility, or is he brand new to the organization?
I think he was hired on.
Brand new?
Yeah.
It may be important to note, too, that the letter of concern is specifically for acts that, while in this instance did not rise to the level of violation, those same acts under different circumstances in the future could.
Yeah.
Right. So then, if we get a letter of concern, be more specific to the repeat deficiencies or the fall prevention and recovery program wasn't properly installed, and that led to a person being on the floor, but it could have been recovered. What was the other repeat?
But he wasn't
there. Well, my primary concern
is... he wasn't there at the first one, correct?
Right. My primary concern is, you know, one med tech and a floating caregiver for 20 residents. And he is responsible.
There's still two people.
15 to 1 for a caregiver to residents.
It depends on the condition of the residents.
And so acuity is also a concern, but that kind of is up to each individual building to monitor and decide what their needs are.
Okay, well, I've stated my case. I appreciate the conversation. And I hear what you're saying. I don't want to provide a disincentive to, you know, managers coming in either.
Did you want to make a motion to that effect and see if you get a second and a vote, or? It's not an inappropriate use of a letter of concern. A letter of concern is a non-disciplinary action, and it's like an advisory letter to this particular manager. Hey, we see this. Don't let it happen again in the future. And it has no consequence to how long they've been there.
So I'll just say one more thing, and then I'll make the motion. I do think staffing here is insufficient. We're not talking about a caregiver in a floating med tech to the extent that it matters by definition. Med techs are busy passing meds. And so if you're assigning your med tech also as a caregiver, and then you have a floating caregiver, by design, that's problematic. I mean, one of the reasons I'm here, some members of the board don't like when I talk about my personal experience, but, you know, I have been in situations where the med tech was assigned caregiving responsibilities, and then there was a floating caregiver as backup. Med techs are med techs. The reason a lot of these folks are in a facility is they have acute needs, even if they're not directed care. They're probably taking meds 3 or 4 times a day. Med techs are busy providing meds. This is a big facility. I guarantee you this med tech is busy being a med tech. And so that's really one of the things that triggered my concern about staffing levels. And my guess is that's the staffing level, you know, during the day. So I think the letter of concern is appropriate to make sure that this manager understands it isn't just the facility's responsibility, it's his responsibility as manager. But I'll make the motion, and then wherever it goes. I made my case, and I appreciate your dialogue as per the usual. So, Mr. Kidder, I'd like to make a motion that we issue a letter of concern. Complaint number 2024-NCI-0300, and the letter of concern. State that the manager failed to ensure the facility had sufficient qualified staff to meet the needs of residents.
Okay, we've got the motion. We have a second. I'll second it. Rich, second.
discussion? Hearing none, let's take it to a roll call vote.
Member Hill?
Aye.
Member Stephen?
Aye.
Vice President Kinner?
Nay.
Member Archer?
Nay.
Member Felix?
Nay.
Member Coker?
Nay.
Okay, motion fails. We're putting up another motion. I'll make a motion to dismiss. I move that the board finds insufficient evidence of a violation and dismiss complaint number 2024 NCI 0300 against manager Kyle Caswell.
Second.
Excuse me. Discussion.
Please, I have a clarification. I kind of bought that motion. This facility is an out of control facility. That's how it strikes me as I go through it. And how do we deal with out of control facilities by basically saying we dismiss the whole situation? And I don't have an answer for that. I'm not an expert enough in that, but I'm concerned that it hasn't. We aren't addressing anything to give them even tools to work with. The motion that we had on the table may have given him another, I guess, tool to go to whoever his manager is, whoever's in charge of that building, and saying, we have got to do something that I'm not being permitted to do right now to turn this place around. And we aren't getting any tools at all. We're just saying good luck, you know, go for it. You were a new manager. I understand that. You couldn't turn it around in 3 months, 4 months, whatever it was. But I don't see any improvement on the horizon.
I'm sorry, everyone, to interrupt. I feel like he responded in a manner that showed eagerness to repair. He definitely identified those concerns. He took action in hiring team members. There's no way for us to vet the ability of those new team members to meet those expectations. And I think that he identified his problems. He did his best in the moment to address those concerns. I think we allow for understanding and acknowledgement. I don't disagree with Becky's sentiments. I just find it really hard to hold him accountable to a letter of concern today, although he's addressing all of these. I guarantee you, if this facility is still going through its ebb and flow, there's going to be complaints. He will be brought in. There's going to be a complaint survey. Yeah. It'll happen if he's not true to his word here. I don't take people at face value. He did address some of those things. That's just my opinion based on what I see. I don't know. I've not been to this community. I don't have any idea what the practice is. But I see that he's identified and he's trying to fix that in the moment. Today might be different. We're in October. This happened a few months back, right? I think Ken, you're on the right track. I feel, Becky, I understand what you're saying.
Yeah, I do know that this is a tough one because of the shortness of his tenure, and he's also a new manager. But I also, actually, you know, Member Stephen said it better than I did. Like, really, what is the cue to this new manager that his role matters and he is responsible? It's not because sometimes we know, we've seen it many times, managers have trouble standing up to their employers. And they need to understand that they are as on the hook. And I'll just say, too, a lot of times we see new managers come in and they have to be overwhelmed, and maybe part of this is a problem with their training programs. But when the first thing you do isn't to check your employees that they have the right documentation, that knowledge and skills are being, you know, audited, that you're sufficiently staffed, probably his gut was telling him he should be working on these things, but he, you know, he didn't do it. The last thing I'll say is I did find his response to be very well done, but I also found it to be somewhat aspirational versus specific. I guess that's what the next survey is for.
Yeah.
But I think it's just a philosophy we debate around here a lot, is what to do about new managers who are new in facilities that are a mess. And I think it's important to send cues to protect residents, but I also hear what you're saying about protecting managers. So I guess we're in a little bit of a where we just had a disagreement.
With facilities like this that appear to be really dysfunctional, you know, the departments get, they, you know, people go to work not only to do bad, I don't believe that, except in rare cases, at least people want to do the right thing, but when you don't have consistent leadership, stable staff, I think it leads to siloing of the departments, and then that's where things start to fail, because you're not working together as a team. And, you know, I think that this new manager did provide a very comprehensive response, and, you know, and it could be, some of it could be aspirational, and I probably would do too, to say, I still think I can do this.
Yeah.
But in some cases, it's I think in a case like this, you have somebody that's willing to go into an openly troubled building and try to make a difference. And sometimes you can't solve the problem by firing the solution. This person could be the very one that can make the difference and can pull it all together, too. And so what I see at this point is, I think that person needs to be given a chance to prove themselves. And if they can't prove themselves, like Carrie said, they're going to be before this board again. This building's got a lot going on.
Since we're all discussing, I possibly would have considered a letter of concern if it was more specific to the citations, overarching, saying staffing, when we don't have staffing quotas in place, then where is it mentioned that we have staffing quotas? This complaint was probably fired by, sent by the fire department because they had to go pick somebody up. And so the fall prevention, fall recovery and prevention program, which was this repeated citation, for me would be a more appropriate letter of concern so that they don't find that situation again, where people can properly be trained on how to help somebody recover from the fall. And because the report said that the person was recoverable, had they had the tools to do it. So I don't know that it has to do with two people or three people or four people being on the floor to help somebody recover. Recovery is usually guiding that person to recover, not necessarily scooping them up and throwing them back onto a bed.
It was,
we
can talk about this forever.
Yeah.
I think there's a motion.
Yeah. So yeah, let's see how the motion goes and then we can have further discussion if necessary.
Good discussion.
To be continued.
All right. So did I already read this? Moving forward with insufficient evidence. Okay. So motion to dismiss. We've had discussion. Let's take a roll call vote.
Vice President Kidder.
Aye.
Member Archer.
Aye.
Member Stephen.
Aye.
Member Hill.
No.
Member Felix.
Aye.
Member Cope.
Aye.
All right. Motion carries.
Do we have a second one?
Did I
second?
Yeah, Susan. Okay. So then C, 1 through 54, excluding number 9, number 19, number 24, number 35, and number 38. Vote to approve staff recommendation for dismissal.
Second.
And Susan, discussion. Hearing none, just take your roll call vote.
Vice President Kinder.
Aye.
Member Archer.
Aye.
Member Stephen.
Aye.
Member Hill.
No.
Member Felix.
Aye.
Member Cofer.
Aye.
All
Motion.
All right, motion carries. Next, we move on to budget update, license information, investigation statistics, possible special consideration.
Mr. President, how detailed do you want this? I can give you a quick snapshot. I wanted to cover budget. We're doing well on appropriation. We've identified our cash balance is going down because we haven't, manager renewals haven't started yet, which means we're getting really close on cash. We've identified that. We want to make sure that we hit payroll, all that kind of stuff by the end of the year. And how confident, give me a percentage of confidence that you are, Danita, on that.
85%.
So we're getting close. We think we can make it. But once those manager renewals start coming in, we'll have cash to run everything, and we'll be okay with cash and appropriations.
You don't have to pay me during this period.
That's good. I have to pay my staff, though. We're doing pretty good with that. Remember that we asked for an additional appropriation for next year for an investigator. And we still haven't heard about anything about that. So that's about $100,000 more to the budget, which would start in July of 2025. Licensing, I don't really have much to report. Investigation, the statuses, Paige is doing a fantastic job with licensing. I hardly hear any questions or comments coming up through the system, and she's doing a really good job with that. Investigation stats. As of October 16th, we have a total of 232 cases open. That's a little lower. It's going down than what we've been maintaining. Of those, 186 have been referred from DHS, three referrals from APS, and we have five portal complaints. Which portal complaint is basically a complaint, pro per citizen that's filed a complaint in our online portal. Currently, there are 38 of those that are heading towards consent agreements of some kind. We had 10 civil penalties paid, and three people completed their probationary terms. As of October 6th. So that's kind of the ongoing complaint numbers.
Director, quick question.
Sure.
I wondered this when I was looking at a couple complaints from this month that came through our portal. Do we forward our complaints to DHS?
Only, not necessarily, no. Not 100%. I haven't seen, and Danita or Brian, you guys, Phil, pretty much every time we get a complaint from the portal, DHS or APS has already heard about it. Mm-hmm. We seem to be the last person on the list that gets notification of it. So if there is joint jurisdiction, normally they'll have it first. We have it, I think we've been proactively one or two.
Right. If there's, because we review the complaint. If it's a situation where the complainant has not filed a complaint with DHS, then we would notify them. Same with APS. If it's
okay.
A situation that should go to APS and the complainant hasn't, we'll refer it there.
Okay, because I get nervous that we're reviewing a complaint based only on the complaint in the portal, but DHS is working on something in regard to that facility or manager. So now we dismiss something, but we still have information coming from DHS. And I know we're going to talk about data sharing in a couple minutes, but
it's a valid concern. Mm-hmm. And quite honestly, I'm not sure how the agencies are ever going to fix that.
Mm-hmm.
Because you get one fact pattern in here, it would require us to talk with DHS and APS on that fact pattern to figure out if they have anything open on it.
Mm-hmm.
It's a tough nut to crack. But as far as the information going between the agencies, I think it's a lot better than it ever has been.
Yes,
it's still my personal opinion.
All right, thank you.
Yep. Anybody else, any questions on any of that? Okay, can I move on through the report? 2025 legislative statutory requests. There is just a one-page bullet point memo. I've been talking about this for a year, year and a half now. We had put...
5284.
What's that?
5284.
Thank you. We've been talking about seeking some statutory changes. And for lack of a better word, we included this in our sunset letter to the legislature, but it never got picked up on. I consider some of this stuff due process changes, putting some regulatory things in our toolbox, allowing the board to take non-disciplinary actions, delegating certain functions to the executive director. For example, we had that list of consent agreements on the meeting today where they've signed it. Right now we have to bring that to the board for approval. And if you delegated that to staff, we could be executing those consent agreements and have them in place a week, 30 days before a board meeting, if they sign that consent agreement. The board would have control over it, but we need statutory authority to be able to execute those consents in a more timely manner. So I want the boards, and you can choose to vote on it, you can just by consensus give us direction, but I want the board to direct your staff to go seek these statutory changes next session. We've talked about it. I've never really had that asked for or been given that specific direction, but these are the areas that I think that we could use some improvements in our statute, and I was hoping that you could direct me to start trying to get a sponsor, at least get a folder open, get the language drafted so that you can review that, so that we can move forward with that next legislative session.
I was just saying, based on the way this agenda is, if you could direct Jack to open a folder, and then that way we can bring it back to you and agendize it more specifically with the specific changes that is requested next.
You need a folder on that? To open a folder? Yeah. So a folder permits you to just begin drafting legislation, come back and say, this is really what it looks like?
Basically, a sponsor would direct legislative counsel to open a folder, and that's a precursor to a bill being submitted next session. So what I don't want to appear to be doing my own thing in a rogue manner. So I'm seeking that direction from the board to get some of these statutory changes, which I think help our regulatory program. The other thing that is what's called a formal hearing or informal hearing. It's a step between, you're kind of doing informal hearings right now with your initial complaint review. Other health-related boards don't do it that way. There is a letter that goes out, a notification letter says, we can ask you questions, here are your due process rights. It's a little more of a formalized process that's between initial review and administrative hearing. I think the board needs that. I think our respondents and our licensees need a little more notice for what's going to happen at a meeting. So those are the things that I'm kind of seeking with this. In direction from the board. Please.
Yeah, so a couple of things. So when you open the folder, it means you're asking Ledge Council to draft a proposal. And my concern is they'll be drafting the proposal as currently presented to the board. So two things about that. One, I've asked a couple of times if these ideas are being shot to stakeholders. Mm-hmm. And so I'll continue to press for that. You know, who's looking at these ideas and what do they think about them? There are some ideas, thank you for giving us a draft a couple meetings ago. There are some items in here like the initial review, extending the fingerprint clearance card, being able to handle signed consent agreements. These seem pretty straightforward. There are other things that I have concern about and would want us to discuss as a board. So I don't know if we could think about how to kind of just as a board make motions and consider each of those separately, or be able to call those out when there is a bill draft that we can actually talk about, because the way Ledge Council will draft it could be different than the way it's presented here. The last comment I, so I would love to hear an update about sharing with stakeholders, and then I'll make my second point, if that's all right.
Yeah, it hasn't changed, the draft hasn't changed since last year, so I haven't set up any subcommittee meetings, but it's been floated to ACCA, Leading Age, and Alpha. That's all I recall right now.
Okay, so to my point, none of the advocates have seen it, just the industry players. It's essentially what you're saying.
Yeah.
Okay.
And I don't have specific language.
Yeah, and I think we'll need to re-agendize it for that discussion, because what we have here is very, very light on this agenda.
I understand, but he's shopping the proposal to stakeholders.
Yeah, I'm just saying it's not on the agenda right now, so we can't have that discussion.
Yeah.
So we can do, you know, open the floor, we can have a subcommittee, legislative committee.
I'm all in favor of that. You had a second point?
My second question was, maybe this is for the later discussion, so I'll just mention it for a future agenda. Some of these items, like eliminating certain temporary license prohibitions that affect entry, that seems to me like something industry should be asking for. If they think it's too hard to be licensed and they want to dilute those requirements or amend those requirements, I don't understand why industry isn't asking for that. Why would this board reduce its requirements for entry without some clear data as to why?
Industry has asked for this.
Well, they should go to the legislature and ask for it, not ask us. Right, because we haven't had a discussion as a board about whether or not we want to reduce entry requirements as a manager and as an administrator. I mean, based on what we see here every month, unless we're going to do something about training, we haven't discussed or seen, quite frankly, a need for it. So I just want to make sure we're not acting on behalf of the industry. It is not our mission.
This is 110% my brainchild. For improvements, what I've seen come in from applications to complaints, investigations. I have not been approached by anybody from the industry to do any of this. And it's not necessarily the chicken before the egg kind of thing, because as you know, you can start out with a draft, but as soon as it hits the legislature and you have a sponsor, it can be changed at any second by anybody who decides to lobby a committee. So that's why I was kind of asking for more of a broad, overbearing, Jack, go try to get this done. And as you know, that language can start out in a folder and it can end up in something entirely different at the end of the process. So I don't know a better way to do it.
Well, I might suggest a better way to do it is to build consensus with the board before you open a folder, because otherwise what you're doing is drafting a legislative proposal that may not have full support of this board.
And if correct, that's why I'm floating it today.
So is the proposal then that we give you permission to open a folder, but it doesn't go anywhere until we've seen it and approved it?
It's a slippery slope, because as we all know, no matter how you start something, it can end up differently.
But
we have to start. We have to start something. If you don't want me to start the process, then you say no, and we stay as is.
So opening a folder means what? That's not just you writing and showing us. That's meaning you're already presenting it somewhere.
I can't open a folder. We have to have a sponsor to do that. So even if you say, Jack, go get a sponsor and try to get some legislation, it still depends on whoever decides to try to have the legislation. And that's how it starts.
Yeah, Member Archer, generally what happens is Ledge Council won't draft a folder unless an elected legislator or the governor's office asks them to. And so essentially by asking the legislator to open a folder for you, you're saying this is our proposal and we want you to help us advocate for it and build it. But we don't have agreement as a board on what we want that legislator to advocate for or build.
And that's where you get into your conflict of interest statutes, being a board member, who lobbies for it, who doesn't, who gets language and who doesn't. And it's a very slippery slope. So that's why I was trying to get something started this way.
Could we have a committee?
And we might not have, you might not have consensus from this board. You may not have a member that says yes on a particular item. And that's why when you start a bill, you can lose control over it with the sponsors and have it amended. So there's all kinds of things to consider, but I don't have to, I mean, board member Hill is always is very educated and astute in this area too. And I don't think we're saying different things, are we, Becky?
Well, a little bit, because I did think we'd agreed to have a board committee meet at least once to say, all right, here are the three or four like low hanging fruit. We all agree this should happen. It's going to make things quicker, smoother, fairer, faster, safer, whatever, you know, safer, whatever our goal is there. And then I think there are some items that are somewhat controversial and actually are probably, again, industry asks. And my colleagues might disagree with me, but I think that we could dispense quickly with those things we agree on if we have a study or if we have a meeting about it. And then we can decide what to do about the other items.
Okay.
Because when you go down there as our representative, I feel that you are in some way, shape, or form suggesting that there is consensus. And I don't know that right now that we have it. We haven't even done a deep dive on what each of these items are. And it's pretty beefy.
And it's hard to obtain that consensus. But I mean, I'm not opposed. If you guys went to a subcommittee meeting, we're going to be making the same decision that we're talking about today, but that's fine.
Well, then, right, in the subcommittee, we'll get all the recommendations.
To the board.
Yep.
So then we'll be back here, and then we'll be having a vote from the full board whether or not it's unanimous to move forward.
Does it have to be unanimous for you to then open the folder?
No.
So we just passed with majority.
So we just have a simple majority, yeah.
So we can do this out loud, then?
Yeah.
All right.
As long as the changes are provided, yeah, ahead of time. And,
yeah, I think that's a good idea. So that can be set up. Subcommittee, who'd like to be on the subcommittee?
Everyone.
Everybody?
It's got to be five or less.
Oh, really?
I was the last one to raise my hand. So.
It's like musical chairs.
That's good.
All right.
Very respectful.
I don't need a vote. I have the consensus. We have the committee members. Excuse me. And we'll get that done. Thank you. Okay.
Jack?
Yes, sir.
Can you help me understand a little bit better what the issues are with the FBI and DPS going nowhere?
Are you talking about the fingerprint?
And we know it's really important to get the national database.
It's on my memo to that for
website changes. It just doesn't go anywhere.
Your assistant attorney general would like to give you advice on this question.
Yes, you know, as I stated before, it's just not agendized to do a deep dive like that. Since you guys are forming a committee, it's a little early to have that discussion right now. I would say that discussion that you want to have for the committee, have it with your committee members.
Okay.
Subsection C. Again, I'm going to take my broad swipe at this. DHS, we want to enter into a memorandum of understanding for data sharing agreement. Basically, they sent us the complaint referral stuff in the form of what's the download called?
File server sharing.
We're setting up a new way for them to send us documentation. It's a digital transfer of the complaint referral information. While we were setting this up, they asked us to sign an MOU, which basically protects the confidentiality of their information with our agency, the PII that's in there, that sort of thing. I asked the Attorney General's office to give us advice on it. They say they're conflicted out. They can't give us advice on it. They refer me to another DOA, another state agency. who handles all the IT stuff for the state. It's called Asset. They will not give us advice on it. So basically, I want to sign it, unless you see there's any prohibitions for us doing this, to be able to digitally transfer information back and forth between DHS. So I'm prepared to do that. Again, I'm asking for consensus on this. I don't know that I need a vote. If you guys don't see, I'm comfortable signing it and taking on that responsibility. I don't think it opens up to open us up to litigation. You know, but if there is a data breach, apparently the Attorney General's office will not represent us.
No, it's because we are the ones who investigate and prosecute data breaches. That is why.
Same thing, right? Same thing, right?
Maybe prosecute.
Maybe we'll prosecute us. So that was unfair. I just had to take a little dig.
Mr. Monahan, does he need a vote to sign a memorandum of understanding?
Well, he feels comfortable without it. I would say to protect Jack that you should just make a motion if you feel that this is the direction you want to go.
I'll make a motion to approve the DHS NCI memorandum of understanding.
Second.
Ken, second. Any discussion, roll call?
Vice President Kidder?
Aye.
Member Hill?
Aye.
Member Archer?
Aye.
Member Stephen?
Aye.
Member Felix?
Aye.
Member Cooper?
Aye.
Any motion carries. Next.
I feel comfortable talking to this, talking to the board about this generally. If you have specific questions, we'll probably need to go into executive session. The respiratory, as you may know, the Respiratory Care Board asked for our help over the last year and a half. They lost their executive director. I came from Respiratory Board. We've been helping them out with an ISA to manage the agency. The Respiratory Care Board recently did an announcement to try to hire a new executive director. They did interviews, went through two candidates, did not get somebody hired for various reasons. They've asked me to continue, not as an interim, but as a permanent executive director for the Respiratory Care Board, going out, here on out. The ISA that you have in front of them tells you the terms of it, gives you the dollar amount that they're willing to pay for me to continue in that role. There are some other caveats with it. Danita McGlasson will continue to serve as a deputy director. This is kind of the first step of kind of managing two agencies. So this agreement is to keep in place what we've been doing for the last year and a half with Respiratory Care Board. And it's basically sharing the services of the director, the deputy director, and cost sharing of the salaries and everything else that goes along with that. So I'm asking for an approval of that. If you have any questions, I'm happy to answer them.
Are you allowed to hang your hat at both places? How far apart are they from each other?
So
24 miles.
No. they're actually on the same floor now. This particular agreement.
How much time will you spend with
each other? Yeah, that was my question too.
We're spending more than 40 hours here, plus 20 to 30 hours for respiratory care work. This is not a, we're getting everything done within 40 hours. We're working extra time. I don't like working weekends, but I work weekends on this kind of stuff. So, and it's all being recorded on timesheets. So when we submit our timesheets, it is submitted as full-time for NCIA board, and then any extra hours are hours that are recorded is extra time not getting paid. If that helps you. What was the other part of the question?
Nonsense.
Doctor, what is the term of this agreement? I'm scrolling.
It's open-ended. It's not a 1 year or 2 year thing. We've had to do this two times previously. So this one was written open-ended for as long as it's a survey at the pleasure of. So either the NCIA board or the respiratory care board could terminate this agreement whenever they wanted to.
It's a no cost term?
Yes.
Okay.
Yeah, it's sort of work at the pleasure of.
I feel a little bit like you're an amazing director, but I don't want you to be spread thin for the next 5 years.
You've already been doing this for what? 2 years now?
I understand, but that doesn't mean this should be a forever thing. But I'd be more comfortable if there were a term. Have you had a discussion with the governor's office about resource sharing?
So let me comment on that real quick. I started to say this because of the hiring that was happening at respiratory. This particular ISA has been sent to shared services, and it has already gone up for the approval to DOA and the governor's office for
okay.
it. So I've already received approval to do that. Anytime you hire an executive director in an E1 classification, it requires a governor's approval. And that has already been done for this. But you guys are the decision maker. And that's why we're here today for that. Overall, Board Member Hill, so part of this is I don't mind doing this because where I am with my career. I'm not going to be working for the state of Arizona forever. I'm on my twilight years. You know, I've been doing this for 35 years. I'm looking forward to retirement on a shorter term, not a longer term. So this kind of salary and agreement helps me get to that end, if that makes any sense.
Okay, and this is only for you. If you were to leave, bless you, and we were to have a new executive director, the terms would not automatically transfer to a new director. They would have to come back and ask again.
Absolutely, mm-hmm. As well as the respiratory care board.
And if it gets to be too much, you'll cry on board.
Absolutely. ask anybody. I'm pretty good at that. Yes.
Thank you for your.
No, anytime.
So do we vote?
If you would, I would appreciate it.
Do we make a motion?
Okay, I make a motion to approve the RBA and CIA agency service agreement.
Second.
And Susan, second. The roll call vote.
Vice President Kidder?
Aye.
Member Archer?
Aye.
Member Stephen?
Aye.
Member Hill?
Aye.
Member Felix?
Aye.
Member Coker?
Aye.
Thank you for that. Appreciate it.
Okay, next.
This is recognition of Danita McGlasson. So I included some things in your board book. Danita is going to participate in a state leadership class for leaders for the state of Arizona. It's being conducted by the governor's office. Over, I think that's the Flynn Foundation, or they have all these great directors for agencies and leadership that are going to be talking at it. It's a 3-day conference. It starts next week or
no,
week.
Tomorrow.
So it starts tomorrow, and I think it's absolutely fantastic that she's able to participate in this, but number two, that she was selected for it. And I just want to let the board know that Danita is more than capable, and she's being recognized by the leadership and participating in this particular leadership class. And it's called Arizona Leaders Connect.
Yes.
Yeah. And she's going to bring back all kinds of great ideas for us to implement here, right?
Right.
This is all
correct. Thank you.
So there's a little write-up in there about Danita, and thank you for that, Danita. I'm glad you're participating in it.
Happy to participate. Thank you.
Does anybody have any questions on that? And the last thing I have, the next last thing is that apparently the legislature appointed the Vulnerable Adult Study Committee, and that's the list of people that are on that committee that was mandated by, I believe, the Senate Bill 2764. That sound right? That's the committee that's going to be looking at issues hop in here, Board Member Hill, on not only memory care, but training of memory care and other issues for that are supposed to be done by 2025, I believe.
Yeah, it's really to make sure there's interagency coordination on vulnerable adult care and services, and regulation is really broad, but yes.
Yeah, so that's the committee that's been set up, and special thanks to Board Member Stephen for letting me know about that, because I hadn't heard anything about it. And thank you, Rich, for sending that in my direction. But those are the people that are participating in the committee. I think everybody's well represented from my quick look at it. I think the industry, as well as the regulators, are all very well represented, as well as the governor's office and the legislature. So I have no idea if any meetings have been set up for that.
Yeah, they've had one meeting.
Okay.
To get organized, basically. Okay. Just the one meeting.
Strikes me as a very ambitious agenda in a very short period of time. But
it's all we have.
It's a start.
It is a start. So I don't have anything on that unless there's any questions. And then the only last thing I have, Board, is, and you may or may not have all heard about this, there's been a change in the Board membership. We no longer have our public members, I believe. I'm not sure. I haven't really been officially notified. But I don't believe Becky Remhall is on the Board anymore, and I don't believe Wally Campbell is on the Board anymore. I'm waiting for those official notifications from the governor's office. The reason I brought that up is it has an effect on our Board meetings or our quorum. We found out about this on Friday. We had to do a lot of scrambling to postpone some things. But now I'm not sure if we have a quorum. Somebody's not going to be here in November. I think it's Rich. You're not going to be here for the Board meeting. So that leaves us at 6, absent any other Board members. And that's scheduled for the 18th. Does everybody have everybody else have November 18th open? Hop in here, Danita, if I'm...
I'll be here. Oh, no. Anyway, National Honor.
There is an election between now and then, right? Yeah.
Yes.
He's just being dramatic.
It's a bigger trouble for him.
Medical procedure on the 13th. Mm-hmm. Hopefully that I will declare it by then to be able to come for me.
Are you able to make a...
Or telephonically.
Are you able to make a determination one way or another now or not? Without guessing?
I don't know. I'm still guessing. I think I'll be okay.
Okay.
So either way, you could at least be by phone?
Yeah, I think I could at least do it by phone. So that's yes.
Okay. Anybody else have a conflict? Okay. I was contemplating not having a Board meeting in December just to give everybody a break. Does anybody have any issues with that? Oh, come on. All right. So
there's so many cases. Still has a decision.
Yeah, it makes January brutal.
It's
just.
I will not be able to go to the December one.
Okay. So right now.
What day is that, right?
Yes. For right now, we're not going to plan to have a meeting in December. And I know that may make January a little longer, but I would just like a one-month reset
for everybody. Can you give us a date certain by which you will or won't change your mind so we can plan? Since I've already changed a flight to be back.
For December?
Mm-hmm.
So do you want to have December?
I won't be here.
You're not going to be here. So
I'll be here. So
is everybody else here for December?
I plan on being here.
The reason I'm having discussion now is because we're down to six minimum. We're down to seven board members. So if I have one out, that leaves us at the six minimum. And I always get anxious because you never know what's going to happen on the way to the meeting. You know, I don't have any backup. So that's why we're going to...
Can yes? I make a suggestion yeah. about the December meeting?
Yeah.
And it's fine if this doesn't apply. So just playing out life a little bit. Okay, so we've lost two public members. They don't exist under the law anymore. And so at some point, there will be new members. I would hope that they would be appointed before January. And it would be nice if those new members' first meeting was not an overly packed January meeting. If we could have...
Oh, I don't know. Baptism by fire is great. Can you make sure this gets some appointees?
Is that on the agenda? I don't think we'll have to.
I just think
it would be nice if we thought, okay, if the powers that be could say, yes, we'll have appointments by December, could we have a...
We're going to continue with the December 9th meeting. We're going to keep it on the books, no matter what Gov's office decides to do, and then we'll go from there. Okay. So thank you. Yeah. Thank you for that discussion.
All right, anything else? Thank you, everybody.
Second.
Second. Vote. All in favor.
Aye.
Okay.